If you have your Bibles, turn with us to the book of Matthew, chapter 7.
We'll bring our reading lesson from this morning. The Lord has directed our thoughts to this. Very familiar scripture that we'll be using today. Brother Ferguson was here last Sunday night, and he brought out another point that if the Lord doesn't change, I'll get to in a moment. He had a different thought come out of it, but his scripture reading kept bearing upon us all week, and I'll get to that also here in just a minute of time. But Matthew chapter 7, starting in verse 24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him to a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened to a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority, and not as the scribes. Now we've heard this scripture many, many times, and it seems like it is coming around more true today that people are astonished at the doctrine of the truth of God today from the Scriptures. They want to take it and turn it and make it sound like they want it to sound to suit themselves so that they're not being condemned of God. And when they do hear the truth of God, they seem astonished at the teaching that God has left us. We have been brought up in this way all the time. We hear it and we hear it and we know what the Scriptures say. And sometimes we kind of just get put back from it a little bit. Well, I've heard that and heard it and heard it. But then we kind of just get in a rut or routine about that and not pay a whole lot of attention to what God's Word is still telling us. I'm thankful today that we here at this church and our neighbors that are with us today, we that have been saved by the grace of God, are built upon that solid rock of Jesus Christ. Too much is being built upon the sand today, upon that things that are falling apart. And when the rains came and the winds blow and beat upon those houses, that they fall. Meaning the things that God is throwing at them, they will not be able to stand because they have no basis and they have no foundation. Us being founded upon Jesus Christ and that He has left for us to build upon, which is that rock, that true and tried cornerstone, that chief of our foundation that we have to tell lost and dying people about today. I want to emphasize to you that are here and lost today how important that it is that you seek the Lord for your salvation. I can't help but believe the way everything is lining, I know it sounds like a broken record to us all, but time can't stand very much longer. It just can't. God has lined up everything in the Scriptures. If you search the Scriptures and you look through them today, and for a reminder to you that are lost, if you search the Scriptures today, there are things that are in progress right now that the Scriptures teach us about that are coming in the end times. And we are here. But we do have a solid foundation, which is Christ, to tell you about today. From the love that's been shed one with another here this morning. From the joy that God has put into the hearts of those that have been able to stand this morning. And that lets us know that He is still in our midst, that He is still willing to save those that are lost. Now if you turn with us to the book of 1 Kings, I want to read over a portion of the lesson to say, as Brother Ferguson brought out to us the other night, he had some wonderful points that he made pertaining to this Scripture. But as he was reading, and I have read this over this week, been led to it, there's some other thoughts that I would like for us to look at and see what the Scriptures are telling us to know. The harmony of these Scriptures that Christ was telling about those that have built upon the rock. And when the winds come and blow upon that and the rains beat upon it, it will stand because it's founded upon a rock. Starting with 1 Kings chapter 18. Verse 17. Give you just a second to catch up with us there so we can all look at this reading together.
They said, "What, Elijah?
I had come to follow the way that God had given him, the direction he had for him to do. Noting in this time that there had not been rain upon the earth for 3 years. They were in a very, very serious drought, that we would say. But Elijah had been sent to go to Ahab and to tell him about, and his followers, and to tell him about Jesus Christ, and then afterward there would be rain to follow, but that's another point. In verse 17, it said, "It came to pass when Ahab saw Elijah, that Ahab said unto him, Art thou he that troubleth Israel? And he answered and said, I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, in that ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and has followed Balaam. Now therefore send and gather to me all Israel unto Mount Carmel, and the prophets of Baal 450, and the prophets of the groves 400, which eat at Jezebel's table." So Ahab sent unto all the children of Israel, and gathered the prophets together unto Mount Carmel. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, "How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him, but if Baal, then follow him." And the people answered him, "Not a word." Now, notice the importance, and we'll bring this out as God helps us along with these scriptures. They had brought together at least, and more than this, but he gives us a number of 850 people. 450 that had followed after the way of Baal, and the prophets of the groves, 400. So we know there was 850 that was there, but he also had gathered him all Israel unto Mount Carmel. And Elijah had requested this so that he could follow the command that God had given him to do. These people at this time were trying to decide, were they going to follow the way of the world, or were they going to stand with the way that God had told them that they must? These were the children of Israel that had been brought together that was here. They had strayed away and had followed after something else. Now, church, today, it's going to be more important each day that passes, that God permits time to be here on this earth, that we as the church make sure that we stand for God and we don't get pulled away to the things of the world. And you think, well, we can't do that. We're the church. We've been saved by the grace of God. We are His children. Yes, we are His children. Yes, we have been saved by the grace of God, but the world influences us. If we're not careful, we'll get pulled away in the things of the world, and it'll come in so subtly that we won't even recognize it. Could even be that way today. Moreover, it is that way today. For the roll number that we have on our roll here at Lafayette, excuse me, we are the ones that have got pulled away to things of the world. When something comes up, is it easier to go with the things of the world, or is it easier to stand and say, "Well, no, I better go to church first and take care of that"? How many of us have been guilty of thinking, "Well, I'll just do this, something else today. It'll be all right if I miss church. That'll be okay." But then next Sunday, something comes up and says, "Well, I may need to miss church again today, but I'll still be okay. I usually go." And the next thing that happens is, "Well, I've missed a month. Now I've kind of got ashamed to go back because I've just been away." See, that's how Satan works on us. He uses everything that he can and every little thing that he can to try to get our influence and to try to keep us away from his house and serving God. Is this the only place you can serve God? No, it is not. We only serve here for a couple of hours. If we come to Sunday school and we stay for church, we're here two and a half hours, something like that. Then the rest of the time, we're out there in the world. We're out somewhere else. We serve God, should, out there just like we do in the walls of this building. And these people here had strayed away. He had to ask them the question, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow Him. But if Baal, then follow Him. People answered not a word. They really didn't know what to say. They had been confronted with following after the way of Baal by a man of God, Elijah. Now he goes on and says, Then said Elijah unto the people, I only remain a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. Let them therefore give us two bullocks, and let them choose one bullock for themselves, and cut it in pieces, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under. And I will dress the other bullock, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under. And call ye on the name of your gods, and I will call upon the name of the Lord. And the God that answereth by fire, let him be God. And all the people answered and said, it is well spoken. Now he had got their attention. We're going to prove right now before you today, physically, right here, which one is going to be God. If it's going to be Baal and the gods that these people are serving, if he's the one that answers by fire and consumes this sacrifice that we have laid here, that the 450 men of Baal had laid out, and I'm going to be working on my bullet by myself over here. He said, if he answers, then he'll be God. Because he knew exactly who he was serving. He didn't have a worry about it. But the people answered and said, it's well. I'd have got their attention now. And that's what he was sent to do. Said Elijah said unto the prophets of Baal, choose you one bullock for yourselves and dress it first, for ye are many, and call upon the name of your gods and put no fire under. And they took the bullock which was given them, and they dressed it, and they called on the name of Baal from morning even until noon, saying, O Baal, hear us. But there was no voice, nor any that answered, and they leaped upon the altar which was made. And it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, cry aloud, for he is a god. Either he is talking, or is pursuing, or he is in a journey, or peradventure he sleepeth and must be awake. And he was kind of gouging them just a little bit here. Telling them that the one they were calling upon, well, he just ain't got time for you. He's too busy doing something as he went down the list that was here. So he said, even they cried aloud, and they cut themselves after the manner with knives and lancets till the blood gushed out upon them. They got so angry, and they were calling and calling and calling, and that was a custom of theirs then. If they would call upon it, they would cut themselves, and blood, their blood was coming out upon the ground that was there, but they were still getting no answer. It also tells them that it came to pass when midday was past, and they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that there was neither voice, nor any that answered, nor any that regarded. And Elijah said unto all the people, come near unto me. And all the people came near unto him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. Now the first, when he told people and asked him, how long halt ye between two opinions, they had no answer for him. When he went back and told them again that we're going to use this physical example here today, we're going to offer up two bullets. Baal's men, 450, are going to cut theirs, dress it, put it upon a wooden altar that was there. And then I'm going to make one over here, again, dress it, and we'll get to that here in a moment. And whichever one answers by fire, that wouldn't be God. Well, he got the people's attention, hadn't he? They answered and said, it is well. Now they had called upon, the men of Baal had prepared their sacrifice. They had laid it upon the wood. They had been calling upon their gods, as they thought, and they were just talking to the hires all they were doing. And they were not getting any kind of answer. So when Elijah spoke up then and said, tell them to come near to me, he had their attention again, so they all came. Where that he was. He repaired the altar that the people had jumped upon. They had built it, but they jumped upon it and broken it down, that of wood, and he prepared it and got ready to offer up his sacrifice. Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, with whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. And with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and made a trench about the altar as great as would contain 2 measures of seed. Now notice the difference is how he is approaching God here. They had built an altar out of wood to put their sacrifice on, as was the custom of man at that time. And they were offering all kinds of sacrifices in those days, but they were building it after the custom of man and building it on wood. Elijah, when he got ready to build his, what he did first was took 12 stones represented with that rock, Jesus Christ. Those 12 stones were also represented of the 12 tribes of Israel that God had given the promise to carry on this way that we have with us here today. And he made that first. And he built an altar unto God with those stones that was first. And he put the wood in order, it said, and he cut the bullock in pieces, and he laid him on the wood and said, fill 4 barrels with water and pour it on the burnt sacrifice on the wood. Now remember, there's a drought at this time. Water was precious to these folks. They were having trouble finding water. Even before this, Ahab and Obadiah had divided their country in half to go out and try to find where the streams, as we would say, where the springs were, where the creeks might be running, and see if there's some grass and some water that we can carry our animals there and feed and water them before they all die. We're all starving and we have no water, and let's go see if we can find some. Obadiah had found Elijah in the way, and Elijah told him that I must go to Ahab today. So that's how the meeting had taken place, and here they were offering up these sacrifices. Now, Elijah had also told them in this to take this water, the vials of water that was there, and to pour it on the sacrifice and on the wood. Now you think that didn't get their attention also? Water. We're having trouble getting water. He's taking it and just pouring it out. He said, do it the second time. That's 8 barrels of water. Just really looked like to them probably, well, that's just been wasted. Poured it out. He did it. He said, do it the third time. And they did it the third time. That's 12 barrels of water. We got 12 stones that built the altar. We got 12 barrels of water that was poured on the sacrifice that was there. 4 barrels, 3 times. Father, Son, Holy Ghost, representing the Trinity of Godhead. It's all in a picture here if you'll look at it. Representing a part of the church that even before it, God set it up with Christ after He came into the world. I get a picture of the church here the long ago. Here's the altar made of stone, that solid rock where Jesus is. He is for representative. He's poured out 12 barrels of water representing the children of Israel and the 12 tribes that God had given the promise to, that we have the promise of this day, that while that we are here and still in working order with God, we still have that promise before us today. He did it in representative. He didn't do just 7 barrels or 11. He did 12 barrels to keep these numbers in the consecutive order that they should be represented for us to dig and look at what it means for us here today, more than just the picture or the physical thing that took place. And he told him that the water ran about the altar, and he filled the trench also with water. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Had this thought now, just on that too. It came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice. Christ was offered at the appropriate time, at the offering when God said that it is appointed for that Christ, His only Son, to give His life at the right appointed time. Christ yielded up that ghost for us. At the right appointed time of the evening sacrifice, Elijah called upon the name of God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel. Let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and I am thy servant, and I have done all these things in thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the God, the Lord God, and thou hast turned their heart back again. Important. These folks had known the Lord. They had strayed away. Elijah was calling out upon him, hear me, God, that these people might turn their hearts back to you. Our prayer is today as well that this nation that we live in and God's people that have strayed away would turn their hearts back to God even today, just as they did here. Turn their hearts back and serving the Lord. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, the Lord, He is God, the God. The Lord, He is the God. God sent down and showed the people physically, spiritually both that He was the God. He made it so that He consumed all the burnt sacrifice, that He consumed the wood. He even consumed the stones and the dust, and He licked up the water that was in the trench. God is going to show Himself again with fire, lost friend. And He told them what happened here. He sent down such a great fire that was there that it consumed even the stones, the dirt that was there. It licked up all the water that was there. It's represented. He's trying to tell us and show us again in this picture in the Old Testament of what He's going to do at the end again. He's going to destroy it all. It's going to be everything. Notice everything was gone here. The stones, even that He built, the rocks. It takes a mighty hot fire to burn stone, doesn't it? Now you think, well, it's not such a big deal about the wood. That's just fire. Fire will consume the wood. But it's got to be a hot enough fire that was sent down on this right here that it consumed everything that was there. The stone, the wood that was on the altar that was there, the dust. It even licked up the water that was in the trench. God didn't just kind of show that He was God. He proved to these people that I am God. And they recognized that. Lost soul today, you're going to have to recognize God as God today, the Almighty, the All-Powerful. And church, we are going to have to do the same. Well, I know God is God. Do we recognize Him as the God today, or we let too many things get in our way? Are we letting too many things pull us off to the side? Are we having all between two opinions today? Do I want to serve God? Or am I going to just kind of do what I want to do? We've got to recognize God. God is proving Himself every day. You think these tornadoes that's happening in the Midwest right now is just happening? God has got a purpose for every one of those. And every time we see them on TV, every time they come through, yes, that rings back to our memories of all the things that He destroyed at our property. Well, it's God's property, but He's letting us use it. But how quickly He destroyed it. And we remember the one that come through here and all the destruction and all the lives that God took from that as a reminder today. Yeah, those things, quick as we hear about tornadoes hitting and tearing up something, they come back that quick. Our hearts feel for those folks because we know the destruction that come through. But our hearts need to also recognize the fire that's going to come down from God. And I'm made to believe, brothers and sisters. And I have things and I've gotten up things wrong before. But I'm made to believe it's going to be in my lifetime. I really do. I'm serious with you when I say that. Would surprise me a bit, Lord coming back this day. It's His business. I'm ready if He does. But are you, lost friend? You see, I have built upon the rock, not on the sand. When the tornadoes come through and they blow down all of our trees, they destroyed all of our buildings. Our house was broken and twisted and had to be left. And it didn't take a little bulldozer that was over there. He hit it about three times on the corners and it all fell in. That was just stuff. That was just stuff. See, the power of God come through. He protected my wife and I. He let us stand here today and give you warning. But when that fire comes down from heaven, there's not going to be another time. It's going to be just broken and kind of twisted around. It can be repaired. It's going to be destroyed and burned up. Paul wrote to the church at Corinth in 1 Corinthians chapter 10.
1 Corinthians chapter 10.
Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that all of our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea. And we're all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted, neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and to drink and rose up to play. And that's what the world is doing right now. They're rising up to play. Sit down to eat and drink, make themselves fat and enjoy the things of life, and rise up to play and forget God. That's exactly where we are today, church. And that's exactly where we are today, lost friend. You need to take warning. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed and fell in one day, 3,000 and 20,000. Look at these numbers that God destroyed because of their disobedience unto Him. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them were also tempted and destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happen unto them for examples. And they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he stand take heed, lest he fall. There hath no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. And that escape is salvation through Jesus Christ. Therefore, wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. My dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. Church, let's don't get idols set up in our way. Fire is coming. Fire is coming. God said He's going to destroy this world with fire again. It's coming down from heaven. Not just a little spot where the altar of Elijah was made. Not just a little group that gathered where the 450 men of Baal saw the power of God, and the 400 men of the groves that were gathered there, and all the others that were of the children of Israel were gathered there. It's going to all be gone. Every bit of this world as we know it is going to be destroyed. God has told us in His Word. There it is. How is your lost soul today? While we stand together to sing. Lost soul, please. Today, take time and seek the Lord.